Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So the economy was the central issue in the election on Tuesday, that's for sure.
I think so.
For months, voters have been talking about it, candidates have been talking about it, but the future of the U.S. economy may in fact have very little to do with decisions made by voters or rhetoric of candidates this week or even the president.
And probably doesn't.
Probably doesn't. And it's unclear if what may be the big economic story this morning will have much of an effect as well. It's a bit of an experiment taking place at the Federal Reserve this morning.
It is. I mean, yeah. To a certain extent, it's an experiment that's been done before, but how it affects, yeah. I mean, it's a really delicate.
Well, delicate. If you call $600 billion a delicate amount of money, it's never been tried on this scale before, and it is an acronym that we're going to introduce to you. Some of you may know it already. It's called QE, quantitative easing, and it's basically a process by which the Federal Reserve, in a policy that it announced some weeks ago, will buy back debt as a way of stimulating the economy, of easing credit and allowing credit to flow more freely, which then, of course, will have a stimulative effect, the Fed says. And inflation, well, that's far off in the future. We shouldn't worry about that. Well, who's worrying about it? Louise Story, of course, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times, who's all over this story, who we welcome back from a delightful break off, eh?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's nice to come back from sort of the West and the beauty of America and take a look at these $600 billion numbers that the Fed has thrown out.
Well, I have a clear head to analyze this for you, John. And the first thing I would say is if this sounds a little bit like deja vu to you, it is, because it's like deja vu, because they're calling this quantitative easing QE2. Because if you remember back in the end of 2008, at the height of the financial crisis,
sure.
The Fed decided to buy out over $1 trillion of mortgage-backed securities. And they did that, and it's thought that it somewhat helped the housing market, although it did not heal the economy. And then last spring in March, they said they were going to stop that, and they were going to shrink their balance sheet. It had gone to mammoth proportions. This is unprecedented for the Fed to do this. And if you remember on this show, we talked extensively last spring about, well, can the Fed do this? If the Fed tries to pull out, will the economy do okay?
Collapse, yeah.
And clearly it hasn't, because the Fed is back QE2.
Right. And the impact going in was unclear. I mean, maybe they prevented a further disaster, which is something economists will argue forever. But certainly moving out and having to come back in is an indication that, you know, this lever doesn't accomplish a whole lot. But let's talk about the shell game just for a moment. I mean, literally, is this what's happening? I borrow money from someone, okay, in the form of a treasury bill, right? So they give me money. They hold my debt. I'm paying the debt back, right? Now, what the Fed's doing is giving more money to the person who holds my debt to buy it back from them. So I owe myself the money, and I'm also getting the money from them. Is that what's going on here?
It does sound very circular.
Yeah.
But it's actually kind of simple. You know, the Fed, what they do is they print money. And they are effectively printing money here. There are a lot of treasury bonds, government debt already in the market.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're going and buying a bunch of them. And by them buying those, that's more money going after them. That'll push the price of those treasuries up. Now, the trick here is
because of demand. It's a demand.
Because of demand.
Right.
You know,
okay,
if more people want to go buy sports cars, you know, that might push the price of sports cars up. But the trick here is that when you push up the demand for treasuries, since more people want them because the government will be buying $600 billion, what it does is it lowers interest rates.
Right.
Specifically here, what the Fed is trying to do is lower long-term interest rates, because we already have pretty low short-term interest rates. So they're buying up some treasuries that go out to even 30 years to try to lower long-term ones. Because, you know, when companies decide whether to build factories, whether to hire people, they're actually looking at their longer-term cost of borrowing.
Okay.
So that's where we're driving with this.
And note to the trees of the world, this will mostly be done electronically, not
right. They're not going to actually sit there and print the dollars, just like you can buy things on your credit cards and with electronic wiring. The Fed can just do some.
And the other little detail that's important here is that the reason they're using this lever is they've already reduced interest rates to close to zero, so they don't have anywhere to go there. So they have, this is
they
all
have little
left.
They can do with that tool.
Okay.
They can. This is the next step they can do.
But you know, we saw quantitative easing from the UK in 2008. Japan did this in 2001, and they're getting. In fact, the Japan says, if you think this is a huge deal from the U.S., we're getting ready to do it on an even bigger scale. And what some experts are saying is the end result could be the destroying the credibility of currencies.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of investors right now are pumping their money into emerging markets because they're not as interested in coming into U.S. treasuries. And so this does kind of change the whole scale here. The other question, and one of the biggest criticisms of what the Fed just did in the last 2 years, is whether this will really put more money in circulation. So you go buy all these treasuries or you go buy these mortgage bonds, but if you buy them from banks who are going to just sit on the cash and not lend more, well, might not really help that much.
Well, what kind of investments are preferred by the Fed? I mean, I suspect they don't want people to get overly into debt and rack up charges on their credit cards again and create the sort of subprime crisis that we had a few years ago. What sorts of investments, what kind of spending is the Fed looking to achieve from this activity here?
Well, ultimately, what a lot of economists want is to see companies go out and put new business into works, build factories, hire people, try to build new business. You know,
now, do they do that even if they don't have orders for products?
That's the problem. That's the problem. And we're in this cycle, you know, here where workers are not spending, consumers are not buying because they're unsure of their jobs. And since they're not buying, companies aren't building more factories to build more things. And that's the problem. And it's unclear if these Fed dollars are going to translate into helping that. But keep in mind, it's also unclear whether Congress, after these elections, will put a bunch of new stimulus out there. It may be that the Fed is the only arm of government that's going to do much on a big multi-hundreds of billion dollar scale.
The Fed and the U.S. economy is unique in that the dollar is a currency of last resort. It basically bolsters the entire global economy. Does that have the net effect of concealing possible bad decisions that if it was tried somewhere else, like Japan, as Celeste said, or in the U.K., the immediate impact negatively is seen, whereas in the United States it might be concealed because people support the dollar because there's nothing else to support?
That's true, that it's going to have a slower effect here. But, you know, you can't just assume that people are always going to flock to the dollar. And in fact, this should weaken the dollar some, which, it you know, you don't like a weaker dollar typically. But the upside is for companies, U.S. companies trying to sell things abroad, a weaker dollar will mean that it should be easier to sell U.S. products abroad. So, you know, on all of these questions, John, there's a pro for these people here, a con for these people there. The big question is, though, will this Fed hundreds of billions of dollars get out into the real economy?
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, talking about quantitative easing, QE2, coming to a bank near you.